You are listening to the Yummy Mummy Podcast, episode number 180.
Welcome to the Yummy Mummy Podcast, where you will learn brand new and shockingly different tools to lose weight for the last time. And now, here's your host, certified life and weight loss coach, Laura Conley.
Hello, Yummy Mummies. Welcome to the pod. We have a very special guest today, Kat, my friend. We connected at the coach's social retreat that I hosted back in February. It was so much fun and we became fast friends. I just feel like we're kindred spirits, but also because we're in a similar industry. So what's super fun about Kat is she is a weight loss coach for perfectionistic type A women. And Kat, I'm going to have you do the intro. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming. I love you. It's going to be such a fun conversation. You guys, we are going to talk about perfectionistic tendencies, what that looks like when it comes to weight loss and healthy eating. So Kat, give yourself a better intro than I just gave you.
I will. Okay. Well, thanks, Laura, for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And I am so excited to talk a bit about what I do and how this may help your people with perfectionism and healthy eating. So what I specialize with, as Laura said, is teaching high achieving perfectionistic women to eat naturally healthy and lose weight. And this is very much where I started. So I very much was a hard worker. I was a hustler and I really was focused on performing well in any job I did. And I always considered myself highly intelligent. But when it came to healthy eating and weight loss, I felt like I was always behind and I struggled to meet the mark and that it just wasn't working. And so eventually I came to realize that the hustle approach, and no matter how intelligent I was, I couldn't force it into place. So it really compelled me to learn more about this work, to learn more about what makes it so hard for intelligent, high-achieving women to lose weight in the way they want to. Yes. And so I really began to learn about that work and specialize in it. So I am now a certified life and health coach, and I help women lose weight without hustle. And so that's really what I love, love, love to teach.
Okay. So what does that look like? How does that show up? Like the hustle or the perfectionistic tendencies when it comes to weight loss and eating and dieting? Like, what does a day in the life look like? Or what would an example be of somebody who's trying to lose weight, but they're being a perfectionist?
Yeah. Well, I love that question because I don't think every single person who has these tendencies identifies as a perfectionist.
That was totally me. Like, I don't think I'm a perfectionist, but I think I was doing it with eating and dieting back in my yo-yo days.
Oh, I'm sure. And like, to know Laura is to love Laura, like very much free spirit. And I'm sure that that was a factor, but in the sense where how I like to offer perfectionism is when you're focusing on things that you don't actually have control over. So that is your aim. And so with healthy eating and weight loss, you can consider what you are aiming for, what your goals are that you may not be able to realistically accomplish. And so we can even separate a long-term weight goal, perhaps, from perfection with healthy eating. And when we say perfection, we just mean you never eat too much when you come home from work. You never go off your meal plan. You never forget to prep your food. And so really, when I think about perfectionism, even if you don't identify as a perfectionist, it's just being someone who leaves little room for error or your humanness in your brain when you think about how you're going to accomplish your healthy eating goals or your weight loss goals.
Little room for error. Yeah, we think we're like robots and like aliens when it comes to weight loss. We're like, I'm going to do this plan and then I'm going to stick to it 100% of the time. And then when I don't stick to it, I'm going to throw in the towel and eat all the things. At least that was me. I don't know if that's how it shows up for your clients.
Well, I think it's quite humbling because when you think of yourself as an intelligent woman, you almost get a little delusional. And I like to poke fun at us when I say this because we really will take it to a level where we believe, oh, if I know what to do, I can just do it. And then that problem's going to be solved. And then we're like, okay, I don't have to think about this anymore. I can go on about my day, which is why we're so attracted to things like the plans and the protocols in itself, because we think it's just about what we do. But as humans, we're so, so messy. And I say this with a little bit of jest, but also it's true.
Yes.
We're dealing with a survival brain and the resulting mm-hmm. emotions of that. And to really heal things like perfectionism and hustle, which we'll get into, is to make room for your humanness in your life and to actively nurture yourself as someone who has emotions and messiness and not resisting that when you're trying to make changes.
Okay. So can you give me an example of like what that looks like when you're like being a perfectionist and it doesn't work to lose weight?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest examples is when we'll place the focus more on what we're not doing and what we need to do right. So it's really the right or wrong versus the problem solving of how we can help ourselves make it easier to succeed. So with my clients, this relates to the all or nothing thinking. I like to help them stop thinking of themselves as a performing student and more like a scientist of their eating habits. So with how we diet and how we attempt to follow protocols a lot of the time, we want to perform really well. And this is a lot of us why we're so motivated to enter a weight loss journey is because we want to prove something to ourselves. We want to get the A, we want to get the gold star. And that can feel really motivating in the beginning, but then it kind of crashes and burns the moment you have to build a skill and learn something about you that you might not be so good at in the beginning. And then we go on the nothing end of the spectrum where we beat ourselves up and just overeat, emotionally eat all the things. And so that's perfectionism. It's having a low tolerance for the human error. And what we can consider is what would the middle of that be for all of us? I know for me, it was when I was able to start looking at the human error piece as non-negotiable. Like I'm a messy human. It's going to be there. And what if I could create all the results I wanted with that there? What would that look like? And a scientist, as opposed to a student, is just really resourceful and they're really curious. And so hopefully that kind of answers this question here just a bit, but that's generally how it can look different. It's kind of the persona you're adopting in that
I
work.
I love that. Yeah, it's so true because, well, so my husband's a scientist and when he messes up in the lab, he's not like, I'm a failure. I quit being, yes. I'm going to quit being a scientist. He just iterates and just iterates again. So we actually, in the Yummy Mummy Method, we have the scientific method in the workbook, right? It's like we all create our hypotheses together. They're all a little bit different. And then we go out and collect data. Once we collect that data, we analyze it and then we decide, do we continue on or do we make a new hypothesis? We just keep going and going and going and going. And I think that can be scary for some of our clients because our clients are like, no, I just want the prescription. I just like, give me the plan that works for everybody. And I always say like, while you're applying the scientific method, you are still losing weight. It's like my husband in the lab, he actually is getting results. He is making product for his client. He's a material scientist, but he's getting better as he goes. So it's not like he has no results. He has the actual product, but he's learning as he goes. And I think that's like in weight loss, we forget that there's an opportunity to learn. It's like, we make it mean something when we make a mistake about our like, I don't know, personal value or worth or whatever.
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny because I don't think we've talked about this, but my partner is a scientist as well. He's a marine science. And so it's funny though, because he actually at one point he did his master's and he did his study and he had a little trouble being hard on himself. So he was not in that scientist frame of mind, y'all. He was like in the performer. And so what's really interesting though is the results of his study proved that the experiment he did didn't work, so to speak, for what he was looking for. But what he didn't see is that that is data and a result in itself that he can publish. And then that is going to add so much value to that space. And it's so interesting. We'll miss it, right? It is a result. It is progress. But he doesn't love all the time when I get into coach mindset with him. Sometimes we just have to let them be them. But sometimes I have that urge. I'm like, listen, you're not being the scientist right now.
Oh, but I love that. That's so good. My husband like just uses all my coaching against me. He like, I've coached him way too much that he just now uses it. He's like, I think you have a manual for me, Laura. I'm like shut up. Leave me alone.
Laura, are you processing your feelings?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Why are you in the pantry, Laura?
That's so real when they use it against you. I'm like, hold on a minute. No, that's not what's supposed to happen.
It's so interesting. Like, it is a result. It's something that is publishable. Like, I talk, and I'm sure you do too with your clients, like, talk all about, like, when we do make a mistake, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, like, you eat the cupcake when you said you weren't going to have sugar that day or whatever. It's like we either beat ourselves up or put our heads in the sand. And it's like, then we're missing the buried treasure. There is a result there that we could learn from and use. And like, my husband is pretty non-emotional. So like, he'll come home and he'll have a tough day and he will not have gotten the result that he thought his hypothesis was going to create. And I'll be like, oh my God, babe, like, are you okay? Like, this sucks. And he's like, yeah, like, I'm fine. Like, I'm just going to go back tomorrow and try again. And I'm like,
so relatable.
Oh. I'm like, oh, really? That's like a thing you can do without having a temper tantrum and quitting for like until January 1st, 2025?
Yes. And that's what makes it so interesting, right? Because even what you're saying, it's like results can exist with our humanness. And for those listening, I'm sure you would say this, like, Laura and I, what we've mastered is making peace with the humanness, knowing it's going to come up and saying, oh, okay, that's there. That's not a problem. And then working on how our results can fit in with that. And so I think that also contributes to healing perfectionism is just having that energy of, okay, I'm a messy human. And sometimes I can just watch myself be. And it's not a problem to solve for that happens. It's what we do with those moments that create the results. And so everyone who has an issue with this, if you stopped focusing so much on what you do wrong and instead focus on how you react to what went wrong, that is where the results happen. It's not even in the right things we do, so to speak, which I know can be a really different way of thinking for us when we come
it's
from
so
that
well said.
Eating right or eating wrong mentality, right?
Yeah, that is so well said. Okay, so yeah, it's focusing on not reacting and just responding instead. So good. I mean, I love to like take whatever, it could be science, or I always take like skiing or pickleball or tennis. It's like we make a mistake in a sport or a skill that we're learning and we're just like, oh, okay, what happened there? I wonder what went wrong. I wonder how I can solve for that next time. And we like learn and move on because we're not attaching pickleball to our identity. But I think we attach like the way that we eat to our identity and are like good, like, are we good or are we bad because of these decisions or choices that we make?
Totally. And it's so funny because we are very like-minded, and like the sport analogy is something I go to a lot with this work is like, I actually had a client recently, she said, but there is when you're doing it right and when you're doing it wrong. So like, we have to do it right to get the result. And I said, actually, I want you to think about this like basketball. And, you know, there's that whole story that Michael Jordan talks about. And when he first started, he was the worst on his team, but he romanticizes that journey so much because it shaped who he was. And it's because he just kept showing up to practice. So he didn't see it as a light switch where one day he's going to start. I don't play basketball, y'all, but like, he's going to start shooting the baskets or whatever it is. But it's not that simple, right? Skill building is there's a lot that comes before shooting the basket. And then there's a lot that comes before being where Michael Jordan is at now. And so for this client, what I was able to help her see, and it goes along with what we're talking about, is that there's so many results and growth that happens before the right or the wrong. It's like these little areas of becoming someone different, where it's becoming someone who shows up to practice to solve that problem and become someone different. In our case, it's a client showing up to a call or someone listening to this podcast. That is a step, and that is a result that's being created. But hopefully that matches your perspective of that.
Yeah, well, it totally does. And it's like, to your point, like, it really is about like, if you just keep showing up, you will create the result. Like, if you just keep showing up, and nobody teaches us that weight loss is a skill.
Like, yes,
it really is a skill that we have to learn, and nobody taught us.
Sounds so basic, but it's like, when you really think about it, we're not understanding that.
No, we think we're supposed to just get a prescription and like do it, but we're missing 99% of it. Okay. So what's so funny is like, this is just like so kismet, because one of my clients posted yesterday, and like, we're just going to I don't know if you're allowed to say beat this like a dead horse anymore, but we're going to beat this analogy like a dead horse. I can't keep up with like what sayings we're allowed to say and what sayings we're not allowed to say.
That one's not allowed. Uh-oh. Not good. Okay. No. I think we're allowed to say that one.
So I asked my client if I could share it. And this is what she posted yesterday. And it's so, it just brings it home. Okay. So she says this. I'm like literally reading this right off of Slack. She goes, my 7-year-old has been trying to get across the monkey bars at the local playground ever since she could walk. She would try and fail over and over and over. Finally, she would get across once in a while, but then would fall again 100 times. She joined gymnastics this year because she was interested, but also because she wanted to work on upper body strength so she could do the monkey bars. So we go to this playground the first time this season today, and she goes right across like it was nothing, over and over. She was so excited and proud. It got me thinking about how long we want weight loss to take versus how long it actually does. It took her 4+ years to master the monkey bars, way longer than she wanted it to. If I would have told her 4 years ago, that's how long it would take, she would have been so discouraged. But now she can do it and she doesn't care how long it took. And I was like, oh my God. She said it wasn't a flip of a switch from not being able to cross to being able to. There was a ton of time in the middle where she would get across and then fall down. Oh, she says, which reminds me of how I can have a perfect quote unquote on plan day and then eat off plan. And I'm so surprised and wonder what's wrong with me when actually the process of change and learning takes a long time and requires a lot of failing. And she got a gymnastics coach and that's what changed things for her. And then she goes on to say, and that's
so
what changed.
Perfect. Changed. You know what I love about that? If we just like imagine, we know how silly it would be for, and I love the child examples. Like we know how silly it would be if a child looked at a diagram of how to go across the monkey bars and is saying, okay, I should be able to do it now. Like I know the right thing to do. And then they fail and they're like, oh, guess I need to find another manual or guess I need to find another step by step. It's like, no, you have to build the capacity to do what it says. So
yeah,
hopefully that kind of aligns a bit. I really love that.
I love that. Okay. How do you use the term healthy eating? What does that mean? How do you define it? I'm just curious.
Oh, that's such a good question. I think what's really funny, if I'm being so transparent, is I used it a lot in the beginning as I was building my business for people to know the topic I discussed. So it's a very broad topic, just healthy eating in general. And then I kind of switched it to naturally healthy eating. And how I define that is just learning how to eat healthy in the way nature intended. So mm-hmm. I like to bring myself back to caveman times and being coaches. I'm sure we do that a lot. It's really interesting, but I like to think back to hunter-gatherer society and how those people were so not concerned with like nutrition or a plan or any of these things. Do we want to go back there health-wise? No. But also if we really consider how much micromanagement and emotional effort we put into making healthy eating decisions, it is the least natural thing in the world. And what if it was never meant to be that way? And so kind of more to answer your question, when I think about healthy eating, I think it was meant to look different for every single person on the planet. I think it has to be your version. And tactically with that as well, everyone's body is different physiologically, right? So what works for one person just isn't going to respond to the other. And this doesn't mean it's more complicated. It just means when we have access to the manual for how to go across the monkey bars, we have to keep in mind that it's going to have to look a specific way for our body type, our fitness level, whatever it is. Just to segue back to that analogy.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good because, and I wonder if you could speak to this too. I used to like bang my head against the wall and be like, but I eat healthy. This is so unfair. Like why, like I eat healthy already. Like why can't I lose weight? Like something must be wrong with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, it's interesting to think about. And again, I'm curious for you. My all or nothing with healthy eating was extreme. Like when I was in the all or the on, I was on. Like I killed some of those diets, y'all. Like I really did well, except for the Whole 30. I think it was like the Whole 3. Like I just couldn't make that one work. But for so many of the others, I was killing it. And then I would really go on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. I always say like, I was really good at losing weight. I just wasn't good at keeping it off. Like I was like decent at losing weight.
Yeah. And I think that's so relatable. I think the difference that we can see now is even though we performed, again, performance really highly on those diets, it had no consideration for our own preferences and needs with ourselves or our body. You learn none of those things when you do those approaches, because really, I always want us to think about what would it be like to get to know yourself so well as an eater? How fun is that? I just love that side is, I don't know if you had this experience, but I remember when I really focused on wanting to get to know myself, there were some foods that I no longer even liked. And I'm just like, oh, that's not a thing anymore. And then there were some foods that I became obsessed with just from a really abundant place in actually asking myself, what do I want with food?
Yeah.
What foods do I not want to give up? What foods are healthy, but like, I don't want to eat? What if I don't have to eat those things? So I think that that's a part of it too.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I think for me too, I was like also lying to myself. I was like, I eat healthy. Ugh. Like I had this like entitlement thing going on. And it was like, if I really looked at it, I was like, Laura, you don't eat healthy. Like 30% of the time, like 70%. Yeah. But for you, you're 30% of the time you're not. You're emotionally eating or you're just eating total crap. Again, no judgment if that works for you, but it didn't work for me. And I was just like, I felt like it was so unfair. Like, why can all these other people like eat unhealthy and weigh what they want? And I was just making that up. I don't even know if they weighed what they wanted, but I think sometimes we do that to ourselves too. Like, I do eat healthy. Ugh. And it's like, you just might not know what eating healthy for your body really is yet, because you haven't gone down the path of being a scientist and exploring and testing and retesting and figuring out for you. I love that you have such a focus on that. And obviously I do too, because that's one reason why both of our programs are so sustainable, because it's designed for you. It's not like a one size fits all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that kind of segues into the hustle part of it too, is like, I almost think it makes sense when we have that. In my mind, it's like defensiveness or resentment. We're like, what the heck? I know all the things. I'm eating all the things. But I almost offer that we equate that resentment more with the effort and energy we put in and not necessarily the actions we're taking. Is like, but I did put so much effort, energy, and focus into solving this problem. And yes, we did take the right actions. But also, what if it was never meant to require that much effort and energy? Because the reality is, we did work so hard in our brain and in our emotional capacity to take those actions, but our reasons weren't the best for doing so. And so it exhausted us. And I just like to validate that part too, which I so relate. I was like the most bratty about it, where I'm like, what the heck? I'm doing all the things to the point where I would study nutrition hardcore. And really, what I was so resentful about is that I didn't have the results I wanted with the amount of emotional effort I was putting into it, which that's actually where it connected most for me. I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Why emotionally am I working so hard and I don't have this? So I don't know if that relates specifically to you.
Yes, it totally hits home. And that's what I wanted to talk about too. This dovetails nicely into, I think we both want to teach our clients that like, this doesn't have to be as hard as we're all making it, but I feel like it can be really scary to step into a little bit more ease or like a little bit more fun. So how do you get your clients over that hump? Because I do think we're kind of attached to our diet mentality. We're attached to wanting a plan. We're attached to wanting a prescription that just works. So how do we help our clients like trust us that it's better over here where it's easy and fun, but for them, it's scary because it's unfamiliar?
Yeah, it's my favorite question ever. And I said to Laura before we started recording, I'm like, we could probably record for like 3 days because it's just like my favorite thing to talk about. But I really do love this topic, because I'll say it to people in the beginning and understandably, I don't think they quite get it yet sometimes, because I always say one of the hardest things about this journey is being willing to let it be easier for you. And sometimes that doesn't connect right away. And the reason why is because we know we want the result easily. That feels like the pinnacle of the results we want. But what I always want everyone to see is that there are two reasons to want a weight loss goal. There's having the weight loss for the results with your body and the life that you will have with that result. And that's nice, but it's a bit more neutral. And then there's proving something to yourself about yourself. And maybe that's you're worthy or you're successful or you're enough to have this result. It's very much placed in self-worth and performance. Mm-hmm. And so really when we think about letting something be easy, it's giving up performance and getting the gold star with this area of your life. So something I talk to clients about a lot is I'm like, who are you really going to be when you're not actively solving this problem in your life? When you're not researching fixes and solutions and nutrition, and this isn't something you have to solve for. It's kind of an identity crisis because it's really seeing, oh my gosh, like there is so much that's going to fill my time instead of this. And it can be things like fun or ease. And I had a client who she learned piano with her sons and she's like, well, not worrying about this anymore. So I'm just going to learn piano. But that is survivally in your brain, a very big, unfamiliar thing to do, as Laura said. So yeah.
Who are you going to be without this? It's so cool. You know what it like? Yeah. I think kind of the answer is for like everybody is like, you're going to be somebody that like you are really proud of because whatever you create is like going to be like the point of your life. I know that sounds like really dramatic, but like playing piano with your kids is the point of life. Like that's just my belief. Obviously everybody gets to believe what they want. That's the point of life. Seriously, playing piano with your kids is the point or what? I mean, that's definitely not the point of my life. I'm never learning the freaking piano, but I'm like the most not musically inclined person ever. But my point is playing pickleball with my kids is the point of life or whatever the thing is. And that's what's on the other side of solving this, I think.
That's so good. It's like, if you give up trying to prove something to yourself in this area of your life and let it be simple and solvable and done, then your life purpose presents itself, which pickleball with the kids sounds great. Piano, not our thing, but whatever that is.
Working out with your boyfriend or like whatever the thing is. I love how like the Buddhists like contemplate death on a daily basis. Like that's one of their practices because like think about you on your deathbed. Like, is it really going to be about the gold stars? And some of you guys probably are like, yeah, it really is going to be about the gold stars because we're so attached. But it's like, if you really take yourself to that place, like, is it going to be about the gold stars or is it going to be about like going down the water slide with your kids or like, again, like going on a hike with your husband and being at the top and just, I don't know, like staring at the landscape, like really, truly, because sometimes earning those gold stars is taking away from your ability to just play Uno. I mean, all my examples are like with my kids because my kids are so little, but you can insert anything. It's like writing your book or being with your aging mom, or it's really about like hanging out with each other and like just enjoying it. And I think we block, to your point, we block so much of that enjoyment for the gold star or for the performative actions. And it's too bad. And it's not our fault though. Like, I also just want to call that out. Like, really isn't our fault for wanting the gold star. We've been like so conditioned and trained. Like, basically we've been brainwashed to totally like, want the gold stars. Yeah. And I'm still unraveling a lot of that, but yeah. So if you have anything to speak to that, you totally can. I have another question for you though.
Whenever. Yeah. I'll add something real quick. Cause that's so good. I also, something that's fun to think about is we don't have to demonize wanting to the gold stars necessarily. It's just perhaps healthy eating and weight loss. It's not a good fit for something that you need to maintain in your everyday life with that emotional energy. Because when we exert a lot of emotional energy into getting the gold star, that's a lot. That takes a lot of fuel to do that. And that's the equivalent of climbing, let's say, a mountain. And sometimes it can be really fun to climb the mountain in other areas with goals to see what we're capable of. And so if it doesn't feel like a match though, and that's when it starts to feel hustly, it's because exerting that amount of emotional energy to climb the mountain isn't sustainable for that area of your life. So I think what's cool about, I know this is the case for type A women, but maybe all of us, even if we don't identify like that, is no, we can, like, gold stars are so fun. We can do that where it fits. But if it feels draining to you, it doesn't feel fun, and it doesn't feel like something you want to do in your body, then that's probably just not the right fuel for that car. You're trying to fill it with diesel, and it's like, a Toyota or something. I know nothing about cars. That's clear. But
yeah, it needs to be plugged in.
Yes, exactly. That's a great example.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know what I wonder too, for people that do identify as wanting the gold star, it's like, what if we could almost hack it? Like, what if you get a gold star for every time you make a quote unquote mistake and you don't throw in the towel and you find the buried treasure? Like, what if we can hack it? Like, that's sort of what I like to do is like, can I sidestep my way into this new way of being and still give myself like that hit?
Isn't that crazy to think about though, how the world would be different? Cause it's all conditioning. It's all societal norms. What would life be like if we just really were obsessed with the failures? Like we just, and I'm just thinking about this now, like we really just took so much pride in getting in the ring and falling. And we just had the ultimate, most empowering thoughts about ourselves. And it's just interesting because the collection of thinking we have, we know is based on how society trains us to think. And we have a society that trains us that taking action in a way that doesn't create the result we want is bad. And what if we just didn't have that perspective? That would be crazy.
I think we'd all be like Sarah Blakely. She's like, I mean, I'm sure most of you guys are familiar, but she's like the founder of Spanx. And one of the articles I read, somebody sent it to me. It was all about how her dad at the dinner table every night force them to share a failure. Like, how did you screw up at school today? And he celebrated it. So it was like they moved towards the failure because they got different conditioning. Or I'm sure they got some of the societal norms that we're talking about, but they also, their dad offset it, right? And I'm like, oh, I totally want to integrate that into like my dinner table because
I love
what a gift to be like, yeah, I failed. And if people are celebrating you, it's like so great.
I really do believe that if you like train your nervous system to see failure as safe and normal, there's nothing you can't do. Like, it's crazy to think about how if we heal that barrier, there's no result we can't accomplish. But in itself, that also heals this part of us that's like, oh, I got to perform and get the A. It's like, no, we're just trying to lose some weight. we don't need that. We're not going to be tested.
Okay. Can you tell me what your definition of self-sabotage is, how that shows up for your clients? I just think it's a great topic, especially around perfectionistic women.
Again, I love this topic. Talk about it all day. I think the main thing I want to offer in the context of what we're talking about is, and I'm going to go back to perfectionism for a micro moment because it will relate. So I want us to think about perfectionism as avoiding seeing something that is true about ourselves that we have not made peace with. And for most of us, that's like, we're going to do it wrong and we always will do it wrong. And it's resisting that fact. And self-sabotage, I think, is when we are resistant to seeing whatever that quote unquote worst case scenario is that we're trying to use perfectionism to solve for, but it's mostly going to be in micro ways. So I think a version of self-sabotage, especially with healthy eating, we often think about is like the tub of Ben and Jerry's and just, and it's okay if that's the case. We've all been there too. But normally it's like those micro moments in my experience where it's just not changing your behaviors after you've evaluated them, or it's continuing to focus on an area of work that isn't what's going to make the difference for you. Or if you're like a lot of my women, I've done this too, it's consuming more education and books and things before you take action on them and it feels productive. And if we think about it, all those things, we never have to prove that we're going to whatever we're resistant to seeing. We're never going to get the A+. We're never going to perform indefinitely well. I hope that makes sense, but I think it does connect to perfectionism and that self-sabotage kind of happens the more attached to perfectionism we are, and that those things can connect really, really deeply.
Totally. Okay. Is there anything else that you feel like I should ask you? I figured I would kind of put it back on you.
Ooh. Really, I mean, it's going to sound a little cliche, but I just think it's so necessary for us to hear sometimes is that it doesn't matter where you're starting from. It's solvable with this work. And yeah. I know you for sure know what I mean, but I think sometimes when we are in the struggles with healthy eating or weight loss, we can feel very alone because of all of this effort, energy, and hustle that we've put into it. And I always want everyone to know that you are not a unique case. And with love, it is solvable. Yeah. And so I find that the hustle and the perfectionism can really trigger this part of our brain that makes us think we're the other sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of would just offer that you're feeling that way. Again, it's your human brain. And Laura for sure has an incredible community of women who all can relate to all of the experiences. So no one's ever alone.
No, it's so like you made me exhale just hearing that, right? Because we forget that, but we're not alone and it is solvable. I always say like, you're not a special unicorn, you know, like this is solvable. We just haven't been taught. And so good thing there's people like me and Kat.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kat, tell us how we can find you and follow you and stalk you and all the things.
Yeah. So it's very easy. So if you search Kat Rentas on pretty much any platform, that's where you can find me. But more specifically, you can go to Healthy Eating for Busy Women podcast or go to Instagram under the handle at Kat Rentas and you can find me there.
Yay. So awesome. Okay. You are the absolute best. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks. I so appreciate it. You guys, it only took us like a half an hour to overcome our technical difficulties because Mercury's in the microwave still. Yeah. But we did it. I mean, it was so worth it. We powered through. We're amazing. Okay, you guys, have the best week ever. I will see you, talk to you next week. And for those of you that are wanting to sign up for the Yummy Mummy, our April cohort is done. We have closed the door. So if you want to be on the waitlist for July, go to lauraconley.com. Put yourself on the wait list so you guys can know right when doors open. Okay, I love you all so much. Thanks again, Kat.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, y'all. Ciao, ciao. Hey, if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, I would love it, if you leave a rate, review, and a subscribe on whatever you're listening to this podcast in. Pretty pleased with the cherry on top. It would help me so much, and it would help all the other mamas out there hear this message. Thank you in advance. I really appreciate it. And you have to come check out the Yummy Mummy Experience. It's my proven lose weight for the last time group coaching and course. Head to lauraconley.com and just click work with me. Other than that, you guys, I would love to give you a free gift. If you want your free listener only gift, go to lauraconley.com/gift. And from there, you will get your free best ever weight loss hack. So cool. The last thing I want to tell you guys is I do have a free Facebook group. It's called, you guessed it, The Yummy Mummy. Lose weight for the last time, end body drama, and get food freedom. You can just search that in Facebook, or again, you can head to the show notes and you'll find the link there. All right, you guys, have the best day ever.